buck stops here, I guess you could say, number, because, you know, a business chain, which is kind of what the vending program seems like to me in some ways, and maybe I'm really off base, but it kind of seems like that would have an ultimate, like, headquarters or whatever. And if, you know, if you go to a McDonald's, for instance, you know, when I go to generally, it's on 48 and Van Dorn, if I had trouble with that place and I thought it was dirty or I thought it was a problem, I would talk to somebody in there, but if I didn't get results, I'd go higher in the franchise or whatever you want to call it until I got some kind of satisfaction for my situation. And I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to get at. Is that what we do, what we ought to be doing? You know, the way you describe it, Candy, it sounds like that is a thing that maybe it's just not being done all over the state. Maybe it needs to be. But, you know, that's what I'm trying to clarify.
Okay. I think something like that can work well in a somewhat small environment. The North Platte State Office Building is still a relatively small population of the people who work and come in there. And so, you know, that's a dual thing. In the State Office Building in Lincoln, or some of the federal buildings, or, you know, other locations in Lincoln and Omaha, the population of employees who use those vending machines have a lot of turnover. There may be hundreds of people working there. There are three different shifts. They aren't necessarily, you can't have a meeting in those places. And also, I think sometimes there's a little bit of, I really want us not to come in it's almost a custodial manner, or could be done as such, to, now here's your new facility manager, whereas, you know, but what I'm thinking for is that we need to provide training to individual vendors, but also to the vendors as a group. And, for example, last vendor meeting, there was a training on a certain mechanism prior to the vendor meeting. We could set up training prior to vendors meeting, say once a year, on how to really be out there with your customer, how the manager themselves can communicate to their customers, I'm the man. So I'm the one who have a problem. If you have a compliment, if you want a new product, talk to me. And maybe if we do more training of the individual vendors and as a group, so that it's not picking up one person, but it's a reminder of good skills even for people that are doing this job. That's something we can, you know, sure do.
Is that good? Suggest the exclusion or do you have any place?
That is not a place. We, on an individualized basis, the e-staff and often there's still a rehabilitation counselor involved, will, if they see that the person really needs to work on their people skills, I know that they do work with individuals. I'm saying for the group and on an ongoing basis, say on a regular, once a year, have a little workshop on those skills, and I certainly put that into place.
I think that's a good idea. I think that that's half of the coin. You know, I think the other half is still, you know, because even if it doesn't matter what size of a restaurant or a whatever that I would go to, if I weren't satisfied and I thought there was a way of getting it resolved, I would still, as a customer, I would still seek out where the bottom line would be. And I think that can be done whatever size something is. I'm just, you know, and I don't think that necessarily, if you get to the bottom of whatever the issue is, and then whoever's in charge gets back to whoever is under that person, you know, I think that works whether something is big or small or whatever.
Right. people who just take that to their, you know, to their, you know, it's, yeah, it's the individual office, but someone represents that office and they go back and say to the entire office, this is where you need to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry, let me just finish my thought, sure. The manager could realize they've got 200 people to serve in each of three shifts. That person could, during their first week, be there every shift, you know, once or twice a week, to meet the people, to introduce him or herself, to let them know, besides just a phone number, I'm the one that is serving you and in charge of this, you know, come to me. So, that's what I was saying, is that if we give those skills and some real solid techniques that they could use with their people, I mean, instead of the commission going in and doing the training for a group, which we wouldn't catch, there's no way we would catch all of that. That's all I meant by size.
I wanted to ask, because I have one comment, I'll share one. And that is that I get those kind of calls already. What people do when they don't get satisfaction, they don't get their money back. And we had that happen several times. I find it, I'd say I get one call in regards to what you're saying. And that I get people who are the phone management, and they don't mind, and then they give them my number, and they talk to me. And it's been a lot of time to see over a refund policy. They've lost money somehow, and they bought the business. Facility manager, that facility manager says, gosh, I've been giving you a lot of money, but I'm gonna come back and pay you. I'm gonna give you money. And this happens every once in a while. And what happens usually is they get the money, but they need to call me. And if they've gone to the effort and bought the building management, and they called me, they lost the money. We give it back to them. I don't know more than one facility manager that has never done that. That's another one thing that happens, or if a machine people or I have people get mad about a can of pop, and they get 80% off that, I don't know that. But we resolve all those issues, and they call me, and how they found out was through building management. Or sometimes a member, if there becomes a heat argument or something, will just have them call me.
I just want to reiterate what Paul was saying. I think that's an excellent idea. I don't really think that, I think it's a good idea to talk to people about what the standards are, and maybe it's just supervisors in each department. But I think it's the person that's the blind vendor himself should go and call for a meeting and say, you know, this is, you know, if there is a problem, I'm the guy to talk to first, and, you know, I want to resolve it because I want to work here, I want to make you happy so that I can make money, and the way for me to do that is to keep you happy. But I really think, too, it should be the blind vendor, because I would be more impressed with that than I would if somebody like, say, the commission, somebody would come in and say, well, now, this blind guy over here, he's the guy you go to. If he came himself and said that, I would be very impressed with that, and I would be more likely to go to that person, rather than, you know, whether they're blind or not, I would be more likely to go if they came to us and said that. And I think that goes back to the people skills that Bob was talking about, that, you know, you've got to constantly, when you're cashing people out, constantly, you know, is everything okay? I want to make you happy. And I mean, I know that gets tiresome to be saying, and it's just like, have a good day. That gets tiresome to hear constantly when you go to the stores. But I think it needs to be said, because people, we've got to push that kind of thing on these vendors, that they need to do that, because it's going to, in the long run, the public attitude toward blindness is going to start changing if they do that.
Terry, this is in recent times, has anyone lost a sight because they weren't working it hard or weren't working it well?
Yes.
So it does happen from time to time?
Yes. Recently, in the last couple of
months. Is it pretty, I mean, like in the last 5 years, how many would you guess? I mean, 3 times?
This sounds perfect. There's lots more times when there have been issues, and Terry has worked personally and tried to resolve things prior to
it. Each of those 3 times, we've done a lot of work and a lot of documentation. so on, because each of those could have ended up in here.
Well, because it impacts the whole system. If you have a great site that somebody should be making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, who knows what, and they're only making 20 just because it's such a great site that is underutilizing that thing, is probably leaving a lot of bad taste in a lot of people's mouths at GeoNex, saying, you know, it's going to be a McDonald's there instead of a. So it just seems like the ramifications are system-wide. I mean, if you've got a site that's not being worked to its potential. Machines getting switched on a daily basis, and if they switch pop, they got to label it somehow for the sighted person to know what the pop is. So they're just getting the habit of labeling for the blind person. It's like Fatosh said, they got to make it accessible somehow, and there is just a good business practice.
This is plural. And in terms of the business practice, the best thing is to have it happen immediately. And if a person owns a business and they need to have their material available in print and braille, they need to go to Kinko's and they need to go to the local braille transcriber. If they go to the agency, I mean, even if they email a new menu to us, and then we get a braille from that to them, that's more, it's less direct. And I mean, I'm not going to lobby for what should be required of whom, but I do think the most direct thing is going to be the best, because it has to be now. You know, if the truck driver brings in somewhere from home, and I say, well, yeah, let's try it, but I'm going to have a little sticker for, I don't know how long, because I have to wait until I get home and email the commission and then see if somebody's there that can contact who's going to braille it. And if I'm a business person and I have my access, I know that Joe Bossart is who I get my braille from, I call her and say, Joe, I need 5 bills, and say, well, I'm cool. Of course, I mean, that direct line to me would be the best.
Well, you know, there's one thing that comes to mind immediately, Paul, is we're talking about a program that is for, you have to meet the criteria of being legally blind. So these business people are getting this position because of they qualify, and that's based on their sight. So a person that is getting a job solely based on the fact that they are legally blind, I mean, to make them think that braille might be something useful for them to learn is
wonderful.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's again, if we're talking about a program that just anybody can be, and you know, sighted people, you know, then that's one issue. But if we're talking about a program that's for blind business people, and I would contend that it's in their best interest to learn braille, and if this is one more reason for them to learn it, then great.
And actually, that's why we've gone to, you know, need to come to the center at the very least for evaluations, because we are really stressing the importance of braille and pain panels and so on. There also is another thing that comes into it. We talk about a lot of times meetings and bands. And the reason the vending program was chosen as the front program for getting blind people out into the public in an interactive way, doing things that most people wouldn't expect blind people to do, is because of the variety of things that it allows people to do. And so it isn't really, I mean, it is mostly a regular business, and it needs to be treated as such. But there are some specific things about it that do make it unique. And one of them is the fact that it is specifically to employ blind people. And the other is that it is specifically its job to help the public to understand that blind people can do a job that a lot of people wouldn't expect blind people to be able to do. And so if in that program is specifically set up for that purpose, alternative techniques of blind folks aren't emphasized, then we're missing the kind of thing that can help the commission's program overall. You know, the vending program is the most publicly out there kind of aspect of it that there is. You know, the people who go through the orientation center ultimately go to their communities and become people who can exemplify how blind people use alternative techniques and stuff like that. But that particular entity is headquarters. Many programs all over the state. I mean, there are people all over the state doing that and out there in public facilities. And so, you know, it has a very important function. And I think over the years, for a long time, it was kind of thought of as a place to have people go who nobody knew for sure what else to do with, or people who didn't know for sure what to do with themselves, or whatever. But it's not like that now. And I think that a lot of the people who are managing facilities now, you know, are really business people. And
and that's a really good thing, and I think we need to then continue the good thing by saying, you know, this is part of your job. Part of your job every day is to enhance your brothers and sisters who are blind. You know, that is as much a part of what that job is for as anything else. Sure, somebody wants to make a profit and wants to do all of that, you know, everybody does. But that person's unique role in the world, you know, really is to make life better, not only for him or herself personally, but for all of us. That's what that thing was set up for. It's been, you know, controversial over the years, and right now it is. There's a lot of movement out there to put the kibosh on the program, because people are saying, hey, you know, those guys are just business people, then let's, you know, let's put them on an equal footing and let's not have that program anymore. We're not there yet in this world. We're not. I mean, we're getting there, and part of where we're getting there is that program. And so, you know, we really need to try to have it do what it needs to do. And I think, you know, what you said about Marie, what she said about what's happening here, says that we're doing a better job of that than some other places. But there are things we can do that will make it even.
And I think what Phil said about the training, I just think it sounds to me like, you know, the training is, you know, like you said, there's nobody right now born to the, there's no committee or sort with the NFB or ACB vendors committee. I mean, that's, to me, if you're in vendor more of these trade organizations, if they're good, I mean, that's assuming that, and I'm presumably one of them's good, how could you not belong? I mean, it's your business. I mean, you want to know that, so you want to be cutting edge. It's,
and business people in other businesses do belong to their trade organizations or their
they can't afford not to do.
Yeah, that's right. And if they don't, they eventually are either reinventing the wheel or they're out of business. I think one or the other. And neither one of those things seems like a, I don't know, I'm really...
I think what we don't want the Randolph Shepherd to be, and I don't think anybody in Randolph Shepherd should want this either, is we don't want it to be some kind of sheltered workshop thing where they got a little stand and it's, we want them to be vibrant business people operating in the real world, making an income.
That's right.
And that's,
on the other hand, if the machines are owned by the, you know, if the person is the owner of the machines or whatever, then it does have some stake in both training people to know that they need to do the thing of getting the stuff accessible, and also seeing to it that it gets done.
I just know you have the answer for it. She said she can put that training in place. And that's what we need, is that person would have training to be able to do it. So that you would all, what's going on?
Could you say your name, please? Could you say your name, please?
My name is Sylvia Bowles.
Okay, thank you. I've asked people to say who they are when they want to speak so we know who's speaking.
I've been in business for, I'm a different one. I've been in my own private business for over 12 years. I'm not the public, and I've trained something when I'm different in the state of Washington. I've been here 3 years. It sounds like it, but how long is your program running for working, building, staying, having business? How many years?
And I know it's time.
1953. You should have that training in place.
That's right. Thank you. And so at this point, I think what we are again asking for is that the emphasis on rail be continued, and the situation with menus and that kind of thing be taken care of, and that the training for people to be assertive, if that's what it is, and take charge of what they're doing and deal with building people and all of that happen. You know, those are things that we are asking to have happen. this is a very important part of the commission's operation. And if people, you know, who are in the program are having trouble with that, then, you know, then that needs to be addressed, because, you know, they're in a unique business situation. It's a lot like another one, but it's not altogether like it.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I wonder if we could have Terry talk about the set aside later in the meeting that will be a proposal to approve increasing that. And so since Terry won't be here at that time, I'd like to go ahead and talk about it now, so that when it does come up, we'll have it.
Okay, before that, does anybody have any other, anybody on the board have any other questions? And I had intended for us to do that, since I knew that he was going to be leaving early, and we wouldn't want to, you know, not have his expertise on that issue before he left. So, you know, thank you for reminding us. I did intend for us to do that. It's on the new business part of the agenda, because it is new business, not because that's what we would necessarily deal with.
Madam Chair, my name is Will Howard. Is this an important time to ask a couple of questions?
About the vending?
About the vending program, yes.
Yes. I did just say the board, but I, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you are?
I'm Will Howard. I'd like to know, I applied for the programs close to 2 years ago. I'm a little concerned about not having much results from my application. I was told that there was a training program that goes on in Missouri that I probably have to take. I've not heard a great deal more since then. I understand from having witnesses today that when a single person has been sent to that training. And I'd like to know if there is a training program, who has had it, and what's the result of it, because if there's no one here who's had that training, I'd like to discuss with them what it is and how many to do in order to be eligible for consideration for the training program. I have gone through some, I know where I'm reasonably proficient with the computer, and I have taken the math test, and I've been told that I passed it. I'd like to know what the potential is for someone like myself. I don't understand clearly what the potential is for the new vendors, and I'd like to know if that's something that I could pursue, or if there's some reasons that it's still new, or if in fact there's a possibility of some considerations in the future.
I can answer that.
Okay.
Lori has been an owner of Balance. I believe his training as far as what Missouri can offer in terms of business skills would be necessary. I think Roy already has those business skills as a owner and manager of Balance that will be provided by Missouri folks down there. So Roy has already got those skills. More towards the fact that I just haven't any openings in our program would be more why Roy hasn't been considered yet that we have any openings.
So one of those, it came up in previously, that evidently it was Fuzurinsky Building in Omaha that we did not pursue a building site there because it was too expensive or something. And I'm just throwing out that it's too expensive. I don't know for sure if that's true. Why did we not establish a building site in the Fuzurinsky Building? If that's true, if we don't have a building site in the Fuzurinsky Building.
Well, the Fuzurinsky Building is still under remodeling. Until 2005. Right now we have all the vendings and the vending machines. They have proposed putting in a cafeteria about 2 years ago, actually, it's been closed for 2 years. for that. But as I understand, now there is a question on whether or not they're going to put that in there. So that's still up to that time to not get completely solidified through all. There may just be the amount that will have at this point.
And we have that.
And we do have it.
Okay. So it's a cafeteria was the issue of the night.
Okay. Madam Chairman, we're doing. There's another question I have. The, I heard it mentioned that sites become available where the potential applicants are advised of those who are working. I've never had, in order to make it, you know, I wonder what the system is there some kind of general promotion thing? Or how does one become aware that there is a site potential and if you're assessing the need for it?
There, so far, it has not been. The only one we've had was assumed by another vendor that already existed. There was only a couple of chiefs, we just got to set that up. We've not had any of those things. However, how that is done, first of all, like I mentioned earlier, there's a bidding process where the vendors committee is involved. And then, if, obviously, we're going to become eligible somewhere along the line. And all the counselors are notified in each area of that opening. And they get a hold of yourself or whoever is up. That they have is that they have a client that wants to be a vendor. That's how that's done. The actual counseling has not been successful. There's people that want to be a vendor, but they want to have you there.
Terry, this is Kim. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. In regard to tacking machines on to other locations, I know that that's happened in many situations where there will be a vendor and then they. There'll be a couple machines over here that they tack on to help another vendor get more money. Would there be a way that we could set up a few, a site or two in, say, Lincoln or Omaha and maybe Greater Nebraska, whereby that would be used as a training site for someone to get into the program rather than give, it seems like some vendors are making a great deal and they've got five or six locations where one person might want just a little supplemental income and one location with a few machines could help them out. So there's some of those opportunities I think are tacked into other locations where they would provide some training opportunity for an individual and some income to that individual rather than having them all be one site. Is that not?
Well, it has become an issue in terms of program support overall. Better, the larger the facility, the more money that person makes, of course, the more money they contribute to set aside. And the larger the facility, of course, the bills. Maybe to work right now. But at times, the scale, the larger the facility, the more percentage of return they have, and then the more percentage they have to set aside. We do have had a few facilities that we are even considering merging because we need to do something with that. Rather than going the other way, which seems like they're saying a lot of things. But it has been done because of the budget type issues combined with for a higher return set aside.
I understand that in Lincoln, for example, the group for, I don't know if sure that's what I've heard, but has two or three different locations in the city.
Right.
If someone's looking for sites, why would one person be looking for two sites?
For that reason, actually, we have two people in Lincoln that have two girls, right? Two different facility managers that have several that actually manage several sites. Not like a flat site, that's a high have more return of money that can set aside. Certainly, adding, we want two machines as a head state, treating facility, it sounds good, but that is always the first, is combining this, provide that interest with our hiring town, therefore the pay and more set aside, we have a micro program.
This is.
Joe, that's not mathematical to the budget. You know, we discuss set aside as well, because set aside percentage is the same, but you're getting the set aside on two machines or three machines, because it seems to me that the result is the same.
Okay, Paul and Dorothy, thank you. When we discuss the, what to do with a new potential site that's very small, I'm sorry, Mary, but at least in my mind, the way I think about it, it's not so, I mean, the getting set aside back and getting funds back and set aside is the side benefit, but the thing we think about most, that I think we talked about most, is a little income for the person. We don't want to have, you know, 45 facility managers that all have just the tiniest income. And so, to say that so we can get more set aside, honestly, it's certainly never anything I consider when we talk about, shall we roll this one into here? It has to do with that facility manager has the expertise and they can easily incorporate that in, they'll enhance their income, and that's the purpose. And then I would say, and I think it probably is a very good idea to, we can identify a small location, whether it's in Lincoln or if there's another area, to set up something as a sort of an entry level venue facility or a training sort of, so to speak. Understanding that the overall income there would be less, but if it's for entry level training, I think that would be fine. I don't know if we really had one that would present in that way that I can think of, but I'm not opposed to that at all. Okay, this is Kimmy. What do we have to do?
Sure. But I'm glad you said that, Phil, because I agree. It's for the individual to make a living, and in my opinion, the goal would be for each individual to make a living without Social Security. And the goal is to get people off of Social Security and back in gain for employment. What we had talked about in regard to that years ago, and I don't know that was within the business, I think that was within the business enterprise program, is to have some training sites. And where is that cap where we put another training site in to give to another person? Well, the training site we offer that person is the availability, once they are an established vendor, to go out and make some of those contracts for themselves. And the person that is a vendor, they are in a program, they keep getting more machines rather than going on beyond and becoming an independent person for themselves. They are within that vending program. It gives them a much better living and what have you, but if they wanted to go make that better living, they have the opportunity because they have the skills, they have the knowledge, and they have the ability to go out and get other contracts. Where we can't go out into the public and get those contracts, the individual can. So that's why I'm saying that, if they want to promote from within, certainly then they should have gone out and gotten locations for themselves and done great things that way. They increase their own potential. But we're not the ones that are doing that by adding more machines and more machines and more machines. So, anyway,
I can't really have that off. I mean, the way you're saying now sounds like that happens all the time. Honestly, it doesn't, that I can't think of.
Okay, I don't want to cut people off and, have them on the internet, but I also don't want to make Terry late for things, and I do want to give them an opportunity if you have a response,
can I ask just one quick question? Maybe you can just respond later, but I think it goes to the heart of, you know, the responsibility of the vendor working site hard enough or whatever. Are there revenue goals or expectations of any site each year that are then measured against and can...
We do check those. Do we have them as part of our rules and all? Other states do. But we have, we do use those to check. We check if we can see if we got problems with that, somebody skipped off top. But we do check cost of goods sold, those types of percentages, just to see how well that individual is doing. Because most of our facility managers will pay about the same amount for their products. So you can tell there's a problem by watching those type of things like cost of goods sold. What I had in mind though, is when we discussed combined facilities was routes. And that is, if somebody has a big route, they have to have a driver, they have to have a van, and that's what I was thinking when I was talking about the return on set aside, because we have a situation skill where both consultants are not into this money, and it's based on that you have to have a van and a driver. And that's what I had in mind, so about that part.
How do you know if a vendor is maximizing potential or even coming close to, if you know, I mean, every business, I mean, it's just the mantra that drives the business owners crazy that, well, come up with that revenue, you know, 3%, 5% revenue growth every year, and that's just expected. And it's, I mean, again, if it goes back, if you got a great site, you're going to make revenue regardless of how coming you operate the facility. But if you operate it great, you could make a lot of money. But if there's no real measures, then, you know, it seems like that management tool isn't being utilized enough to make sure that people are maximizing revenue from their sites.
If they're usually what happens is we have to keep track of how many people are in the facility. If we do have a great deal of an increase in potential revenue, that is an increase in that personnel in the facility, we do need to watch that product cost line and the top line to see if it indeed goes up. And if it starts to fall down, we need to check to see are they losing customers. And those are things that we can do in terms of tracking.
Would you sit down each year with the vendor and say, here's what you did last year, you know, this is what we would like you, we expect you to do, you know, what you do need to, I mean, a revenue increase is the name of the game in business. Does each make each person have a plan to increase revenue?
We do have, as part of the form for evaluation, that very question on that time form, and they evaluate themselves against that, however they did the year before. The problem with that is it's mostly sold to our staff, you know, there's no way of increasing revenue because it can't. Most of the facilities are just provided to the employees that work there, and they don't give any of that money to the general public. So no matter what increasing, no matter how many dollars of marketing employees put out there, whether it's advertising or whatever, you're not going to really increase your bottom line because you get a fixed number of folks potential customers.
Do all the products have to be sold from a vending machine?
All of ours are now. No, we do not. We're answering that. Most of ours right now are sold from vending machines, except for the hospital.
So if they want to bring in a hot dog cooker and start cooking some hot dogs, you get into permits and health issues and...
We can, those can be dealt with, and that could happen. In fact, some of the facilities,